earth and sky.
If we're going to use fertilizers, let's use them carefully. If we're going to use pesticides, let's use them carefully. Let's augment natural processes of biological control and not destroy them and undermine them.
You're listening to Jules Priddy of the University of Essex in the United Kingdom and an author of a late 2009 Royal Society report on the science of global agriculture. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Priddy says the way we produce food must change in order to feed a growing global population and reduce agriculture's environmental impacts. He spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about a new approach to agriculture being developed with scientific research.
Your work is in an area of agricultural research called agroecology. So can you just explain to me what that means?
Well, ecology is all about the interactions between different aspects of natural systems. And so agroecology is about the linkages between different parts of the farm. So it's the relationships of predation and relationships between insects and plants and their environment. And really we're saying if you look at all of those things together, there are ways that we can manipulate and change those that lead to better outcomes for farmers.
So is that essentially organic agriculture?
No, not at all. No, organic agriculture is a way of farming that follows certain rules that they've established. Agroecology says let's make the best use of if we're going to use fertilizers, let's use them carefully. If we're going to use pesticides, let's use them carefully. Let's augment natural processes of biological control and not destroy them and undermine them. So in a sense, what we're saying is look at the system first of all and then see how you can manipulate it. If you can get your beetles and spiders to eat all your pests, then great. Do that first. If you can't, then you might have to use a pesticide.
Can you just tell me what are the main differences between agroecology and conventional farming?
Well, I think agroecology is the idea is to produce more sustainable approaches. And the report that we produced from the Royal Society in the UK calls for sustainable intensification of agriculture. So it's about making more from the existing resources that we have. One of the problems that agriculture has had in recent times is it's tended to, in certain circumstances and sometimes quite severely, cause environmental problems.
Can you talk about some of those impacts?
Well, they would include things like water pollution and contributions to greenhouse gases or damage to biodiversity or loss of soil carbon or other kinds of soil quality. Generally speaking, kind of off-site harm that arises. Some of those are health effects on humans as well, of course. And so we want a kind of agriculture that's both productive, produces a lot more. We need it. You know, there are a billion people hungry today. There are going to be more people in the world each year for the next few years to come. So we've got to increase productivity, but at the same time, we're running out of planet, and we can't afford to be damaging the environmental resources that actually agriculture largely relies upon.
Can you give me a specific example? I know you co-wrote an UN report about agroecology in Africa and experiments kind of based on that.
Yeah, I mean, I get one very good example, which has recently spread to Africa, has been the focus on what are called farmer field schools. And this emerged in Southeast Asia, mainly from Indonesia and the Philippines, where it was realized that irrigated rice systems, which have been long-standing, provide natural controls of their pests very well. So again, the spiders and beetles eat the bugs, and they kind of do a good job, actually. And one of the problems was that when we started to introduce pesticides, that killed the good insects. And so we lost a natural control in the system. But farmers didn't know that. And so they began these systems of farmer field schools to train farmers to manage their rice systems in careful and sensitive ways, actually using very novel and cutting-edge science. There have been 4 million farmers now trained in farmer field schools through Asia. The idea of working with farmers in the field, this is, over a whole season is terrifically successful, spreading to Africa in lots of other crops now. And it's building people's kind of knowledge and capacity at the local level, and that fits technologies very carefully to different circumstances. And that actually results in a more sustainable and resilient agriculture.
And so can you give me some context for that? Like, in Africa, how much are people growing now, and how much could using agroecological methods improve their food?
Well, we've emphasized in the report a kind of both-and argument, that we need research into new crops and the kind of the genetics of those crops and the kind of most modern methods for that and their agroecology. So if you need crops that are resistant to viruses, for example, cassava. Some of the great advances with cassava in Africa have been over dealing with cassava mosaic virus. That's a breeding approach. There's no way agroecology can deal with that. You need to breed new material that is resistant. But if you then manage that in an agroecological way, then you get a double benefit. Do that, and you're looking at very substantial increases in productivity. And part of the problem for Africa has been that in recent years, its increases in productivity have not stayed ahead of increases in population. And so the amount of food available in Africa is less than it was 50 years ago per person. Over the next 30 to 40 years, the world will need to at least increase productivity by 50%, and probably more likely by 100%. And that's a heck of a challenge. I mean, that's a really big one. Humankind has to step up to this. And that's why we need to be making the decisions now about investing properly, about looking at the evidence, getting the different actors working together, understanding the need to, in a sense, let 1,000 flowers bloom. We've got to encourage lots of different ways to make agriculture work across the world.
So some of the world is quite set in the way that they do agriculture. I mean, for example, the U.S. So how do you envision the shift taking place?
You know, modern industrialized agriculture is based on technologies and farmer expertise that actually sets them in a good position to be able to make the transitions towards more sustainable approaches. And part of the problem is that up till now, people have tended to think that sustainability and productivity were traded off, that you could have one, but you couldn't have the other one. So how are you going to feed the world if you're going to, you know, try to look after the environment? And that's an old way of thinking. We kind of move beyond that. The new thinking is saying, let's put these things together.
So what would you say is the most important thing that you would want our listeners to know?
I think the most important thing is a kind of sense of optimism, that this is possible despite all of these big problems. Putting together the right kind of actors, the right sorts of policies, the right kind of sciences, building on the evidence, working with farmers, we can actually create a much better future. But it requires this synthetic approach of the different kind of strands of agricultural research, putting them together and not breaking them apart. We do that, we've got a kind of decent shot at a good future for all of us.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Jules Priddy, Professor of Environment and Society at the University of Essex in the United Kingdom. He's also an author of a late 2009 Royal Society report on the science of global agriculture. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit our website at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.